Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right. Hello to everybody. This is Bruce Ashford, and I'm going to be your server for the afternoon here on the Steve Noble Show, Call to Action. And what will I be serving up today? I will be serving up an interview with none other than Steve Noble himself. That is right.
Rut-row, Scooby.
That's right. We are flipping the script today. So I'm sitting in Steve's seat, and I'm going to interview him. But first, we want to just mention and celebrate the fact that we've got a few new markets for the show, Northern Minnesota and Hawaii, I think this past week.
Those came on the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and there's a new one today.
Brand new today, I've been told. Katie, this is great. KDIA in San Francisco, which, you know, so far to the right, I'm about to fall off the flat earth Christian. You wouldn't normally think that you're going to be on live radio in San Francisco of all places. But give me the most far to the left, politically speaking, and perhaps the most aggressive against perhaps a Christian worldview. And I have never been to San Francisco myself. I'm just drinking all the Kool-Aid that we're told about San Francisco. But it is the left coast. It is California. San Francisco is obviously unbelievably liberal. But there's also God is not held back by the political views or non-views of any city, any market. So it's a super exciting development that we're live there. It's not always easy to get on live on a new station, but we are. So we thank our friends at KDIA, and we love being there. And you guys will get to know a little bit more about me today because I'm not hosting. I'm the guest. So I'm in the hot seat. It's grill time, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. You better watch out. I'm going to throw fastballs today. So, you know, our theme today, I told Steve when we were talking last night about what we wanted to do for the show today that I wanted to interview him because I'm fascinated by his life story. Some of you may remember a few months ago that I was able to interview Steve a little bit about his life that he, you know, just 12, 15 years ago was a house painter and now is a nationally syndicated radio show host. And Steve, take a minute to tell us a little bit about that journey before we jump into a discussion today.
Well, before I do that, who are you and why are you here?
Oh, yeah. So I'm Bruce Ashford. I'm provost and dean of the faculty at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. That's a mouthful, I know. And I'm also a professor of theology and culture. I'm an opinion writer in politics. I write mostly for Fox News Opinion for their website. But also write some for Heritage Foundation's Daily Signal, a little bit for Daily Caller, and a couple of other outlets. But love the Steve Noble Show, and he's kind enough to let me come on once a month or so, and I have to pay him.
Yeah, well, no, he doesn't. We have my studio here in North Carolina is on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and every Thursday we do Theology Thursday. So Golden Gate Seminary, which is a Southern Baptist seminary, used to be out there in San Francisco. Now they're relocating it down near Anaheim and Riverside, kind of that area in Southern California. But Theology Thursday we've done for probably 4 years now. Incredible teachers and professors. It's Dr. Bruce Ashford, if you want to be technical. So just a wealth of knowledge and wisdom and theological expertise out here. So Danny Aiken, the president of the seminary, is on once a month. It's just been a huge blessing for the show. Great content, one of the favorite days for our listeners around the country. And so it's always a thrill. And Bruce has his own story because he's been involved in the seminary world for a while, but also has a real heart for the political arena and cultural engagement. And then God opened some doors for him and some of his books. And now he's showing up in Fox News and places like that. So it's awesome. I appreciate you being willing to come here and do this and kind of take over. And I'll try to play nice.
Yeah, this is big fun. So our topic today is I'm going to ask Steve to give us kind of I gave him the number 4, you know, to see if he could handle it. the 4 sort of big things that he has learned over the past decade or so as a talk show host, the 4 big things that are important for Christians to understand and grasp and do when we're becoming involved in politics and public life. So, but before we do that, why don't you tell us a little bit again, just remind us of how God brought you into this arena in the first place.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, and pretty much nothing, and didn't know the gospel. I was married at 26, saved at 28. My wife and I were both saved really literally within a couple weeks of each other. And then moved to Raleigh, North Carolina in 97 to start a business. And then God just did some nutty stuff and became kind of a Christian activist in April of 2004. That blew up quickly. We engaged in everything. There's no lack of fights out there if you want to go down that road. And so that got me into the world of politics. That was the year Bush was running again. I met him that year, and there was all kinds of stuff. We put 35,000 voter guides into churches here in the Raleigh area during that election season. And so I was off to the races. We were called to action to be Christian political activists. And so that's kind of how it all started. And then radio started in November of 2007. I was on Saturdays for 3 years, and then I've been on daily for, I think this is year number 11 of radio. Year number, I think, 7 or 8 of daily. So I've been there. I got the T-shirt in terms of political activism and being, you know, kind of your typical angry white male in the name of Jesus. And so I bring a slightly different perspective because I kind of – the culture war breeds self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is addictive. It kills the sanctification process. It shelves evangelism, and that's who I was. And then God kind of pulled me back from all of that. So I have a what I would call a more balanced approach today to politics, which is, I think, why we're talking about it.
Yeah, it is. And I think kind of the beauty of it is that, you know, it seems like there's a number of commentators out there, TV, radio, opinion writers, who have not, you know, examined themselves, right? And aren't, I don't think, have continued to grow and mature as Christians in the middle of our cultural engagement and so forth. So anyway, let's start talking about it. So what are some things you've learned? List one.
The four biggest things. I'm going to start with the one that I think is the most important, that I think is that most of us are in an egregious error on, which I think simply is God's command in 1 Timothy chapter 2 to pray for our leaders. So as I was going through this process, of course, Barack Obama became the president, and I never prayed for that guy. I had no interest in praying for that guy. Why? I didn't even think about praying for that guy. I'm sure I had read through 1 Timothy and encountered chapter 2, but never really took prayer seriously when it came to our leaders, especially the ones that I didn't like, which were all Democrats. So that was one of the first things that God really did to me was, hey, Steve, I've commanded it. And once you begin to understand how difficult it is, once you study and begin teaching the Constitution like I do, then you're all of a sudden, you know what? These guys and gals are all hosed unless we're praying for them. They can't do it on their own. But that also does something else to your heart that I want to talk about when we come back.
So you're telling me we need to pray for people instead of hating them.
Yeah, right, that's a good starter.
All right, so we'll talk about this and much, much more when we return. Yeah, just kidding.
You can go. You can start. It's your show today, so you want to walk all over the intro music. Go right ahead, sure.
Yeah, I just always wanted to walk all over the intro music. So I'm going to do
see,
it.
See, they just turned it up.
Right now.
See, Howard just turned it up. Did you notice that? It's my producer is in another part of the state. And so you start talking over the music, and he's going to battle with you.
Yeah,
he just raises
right.
the
bar. All right, Howard, you probably win.
See,
now.
He did it again. See, that's pretty funny.
Oh, man. So anyway, welcome back, everybody. I'm Bruce Ashford, and we are flipping the script today.
Live radio is not for wimps. Let me just tell you
that's
that.
That's exactly right. So we are flipping the script and interviewing Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We're talking today about some things that he's learned about Christian involvement in politics, and he's learned this over a long and distinguished career over the past decade. In
14 years. Yeah, crazy.
As a radio host, and now he's nationally syndicated. So I've asked him to give four big things that are important, and he started out by saying that we need to pray for our leaders. I don't think we finished.
No. The thing that happens, and you know, that's why you start wondering, why does Jesus tell me to love my enemies and it's even a sinner can love the people that he agrees with, but to love about other people that you don't agree with and might actually disgust you, and are in many ways are worthy of that based on their personal opinions, especially on issues like life. But if you're going to follow the scripture, if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to kind of throw out all the fleshly rules, which is you just hammer people into the ground, and that's blood sport, and that works in most talk radio. That's Sean Hannity's radio show and his TV show, and before I used to love that, lap it up. I mean, this is like, I might as well have been a Roman at the Colosseum watching them throw Christians to the lions and then bring up the gladiators because that's all fun. And so when you start praying, This always happens, and that's why Jesus was teaching us to care for those that we don't like, our enemies, is it starts to change your heart. And I start to see my political opposition as people that in many cases need the Lord. And so I need to pray for their salvation. I need to not look at them as the enemy. We have one enemy. His name's Satan. It's not Barack. It's not Hillary. It's not go down on the road, Nancy Pelosi. As much as I dislike many of these people, they're not my enemy. And most of them are just kind of confused and lost. And what do you expect? What do you expect to come off of a lemon tree but lemons? So praying for those in authority over us, which, by the way, is an obedience issue. It's not a suggestion. And let me just tell you this story, and we'll move on. A couple years ago, I was speaking to about 60 or 70 Southern Baptist pastors in South Georgia, right? And I said, okay, let me ask you a question because I'm going to get all up in your business. How many – and Obama was still president. How many of you pray for President Barack Hussein Obama, let's say, on a daily basis? Let's say there's 60 pastors at least. I got two hands went up. I said, okay, let me lower the bar a little bit. How many of you pray for President Barack Hussein Obama, let's say, once a week? I got, like, another hand. I said, okay, let me lower the bar as far as my conscience will allow me to. How many of you pray for President Barack Hussein Obama, let's say, at least once a month? I got up to a whopping five hands, Southern Baptist pastors of churches, not by themselves. And I sat there for 10 seconds. That's when I do this in churches and places. I look at my watch for 10 seconds and I say nothing, which is excruciating. If I did it on the air right now, the computers would kick in and think we had a technical problem. And then I said, okay, if you're wondering what that feeling is in your stomach, in case you've forgotten, that's called conviction. Because I'm pretty sure you know in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we're called to pray for those in authority over us. And you're not, which means your congregation probably isn't either. But I get it. I've been there, done that. I didn't pray for people like Barack Obama before either, but God corrected me. I'm here to share that correction with you. And I had to retrain my kids because I turned the president of the United States into a punchline instead of somebody to pray for and respect the office. But most people that I've met almost never pray for political leaders, especially the ones that they don't agree with.
Yeah, good point. And related to that point, you know, over the past year and a half or so, whenever we've had some of these kind of horrible shootings, black and blue shootings, the Vegas massacre, uh-huh. Parkland shootings, you've had a kind of a firestorm of social media activists who are mocking Christians for calling for prayer in the aftermath of that. I know that's not a political leader that we're praying for, but we're praying about something that's happening in the public arena.
Sure.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Is prayer a worthless form of activism? What would you say back to these folks?
Well, it depends on who's saying it.
Tweeting or praying?
Yeah, no kidding. So it depends on who you're asking. Any criticism or attacks on Christianity from an unbeliever goes in my left ear and comes out my right ear, makes a brief stop at my heart to remind me that these people are lost. And then that's it. That's all it does for me. I mean, I just go, well, these are lost people and we need to pray for them and share the gospel. Oh, yeah, that. And so that doesn't affect me at all. It used to. Yep. That was just a rallying cry. That was just another poke.
Yep.
And I was the wasp nest, and they're poking me, so now I'm going to go to war with you because that's how I be salt and light. Of course, being salt and light is just a result of following the Beatitudes, so go read your Bible correctly. But that one, to me, I just don't. Now, if it's another Christian and I have respect for them and there's criticism there, I'll stop and listen.
Because what could be more powerful than having a direct audience with the cosmic
nothing,
king?
Nothing.
Who will one day return to install a one-world government.
That's right.
And a one-party system.
Yeah. So pray.
Injustice.
Pray,
will roll
pray,
down
pray,
like
pray,
the
pray, pray, pray.
Okay. So the first thing is to pray for our leaders. Pretty convicting. You nailed us with that one. What's your next piece of counsel?
And I don't know that these four are, I don't think they're in order, but the next one was certainly a big deal for me, which I would say quickly kick politics off the throne. Because in America, politics, I call it political idolatry. I was definitely there myself for several years where I cared more about Americans or America than I cared about Americans. That was a problem from an evangelism gospel perspective. But man, I lived in fear, Bruce. I don't know if you've ever been down this road, but I lived in fear because of the state of the nation politically. And so it was always the political answer, the political answer. We got to pass the right laws. We got to oppose this law. And laws are important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, believe me, I am not an abandonment theology guy. You do not abandon the field. If you love the Lord and you love your neighbor, you cannot abandon the field in any arena, okay? So I'm not saying that. But I think there's a whole lot of political idolatry. I think it trashes our witness in many cases for the gospel, which is supposed to be first. I say it this way. Politics is important. I've never said it's not important. Politics is important, but the gospel is preeminent. And for all of my years of being an activist, I had that upside down. So my general idea was there's a political solution. We got to take over D.C., and we take over D.C., and we don't nobody's defund Planned Parenthood yet, right? Hello. And so I don't put as much weight into it. Therefore, I don't fear as much. I don't experience as much anger. I'm still engaged. I still talk about it on the air. I break that alleged federal law every other year by telling Christians who they should vote for when this radio show itself is a 501c3 like a church. And people would say, you're not allowed to do that. And I will sue me. You know, so I'll see you at the Supreme Court because we'll win. The IRS isn't going after anybody on that. So I just think we're guilty of a lot of political idolatry. And for your own joy, for your own witness, I think you need to put politics a little bit lower down the marching orders of your life.
Yeah. So, you know, we take politics off the throne and put God back on it. And then politics is a sort of, as I always put it, a sphere of culture among many other spheres. Let me mention a few of those and get your comments on them. You know, in addition to politics, God has created the world in such a manner that humans also have art, science, education, family, church, sports and competition, you know, all of these, just amazing variety. Are these important?
Well, politics doesn't determine culture. I mean, politics has had a play in the culture of death. It has a play in what we're doing with gender and marriage and a lot of other things. There's just about every political issue. I don't know how you say it's not a moral issue, but yes, but the culture shaping mechanisms are not Washington, D.C. It's exactly the list that you just said. It's entertainment, it's the arts, and we're like, your kid wants to be wants to teach clarinet. And you're like, that's not a good career field, Johnny. You're not going to make enough money. God can do some pretty awesome things with the arts, especially because he invented them.
Yeah. So, I mean, look at how influential Hollywood is.
Yeah, oh, man.
Arts, Harvard, and education.
Politics reflects what's going on in the culture.
Show, or as they call it, call to action. And this is Bruce Ashford, your host for the day, and I'm interviewing Steve on his own show. We've had a big time so far talking about some things that he's learned over the past 14 years. Is that, did I get that
14
correct?
Years,
14
yeah.
years
can't believe
as
it.
A radio talk show host. And,
well, 11 as a host, 14 as an activist. I started as an
right,
activist
right.
first, so I could get really PO'd and ugly and nasty and angry all the time. And then that's when I, speaking to our new friends in San Francisco and listening on KDIA, just to your south, down in Southern California, of course, Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusades, and we did a crusade here in Raleigh, in North Carolina, the complete opposite side of the country, in June of 2007. So going through that whole process, God really broke me of my political idolatry, of my lack of care for the lost, especially if they were liberals. And that's when everything really started to change in my heart once again. And that's where I'm still an activist. I'm still so far to the right. I'm about to fall off the flat earth. But now there's a winsomeness and a calmness and a self-control that wasn't there before. And I'm not angry. And I'm not we were just talking about kicking politics off the throne and getting away from the idolatry of it all. But it doesn't control me anymore like it used to. And
yeah.
I'll tell you what, I was selling my joy down the river over political expediency. And that was a stupid transaction.
Yeah, so, you know, in your first 2 points, you told us to pray for our leaders, our political leaders. You told us to kick politics off the throne. So what's your third piece of counsel?
This one's can be particularly interesting in the era now of Trump, because we had that right here on this campus. We're on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, where Dr. Bruce Ashford is a provost and a professor, and there's all kinds of brilliant Christians here, which is why we do Theology Thursday every week. So normally we'd be in the deep end of the pool talking about some theological issues, very pointed, but today we just switched it up a little, which is great. Why did I just lose my train of thought? I hate being 52.
Goes. You're on point number three.
Just goes away. Oh, so even this campus, the Southern Baptist world, the evangelical world in general, with Donald Trump, was remarkably divided. You know, it's like, hey, John chapter 17, Jesus' prayer, whatever. Donald Trump. You know, so we're divided over Donald Trump, and so now here's number three: hold everyone accountable. Everyone, take as much vigor and as much criticism and a critical eye and discernment and wisdom and firepower as you used on Barack Hussein Obama And you better be willing to use it on Donald J. Trump. Otherwise, you're guilty of all kinds of things.
So, I mean, we're at a point right now, we're so polarized, the extreme positions in public life are more crowded than the exit doors in an Al Gore recital, while the reasonable, middle is more vacant than an interview with Britney Spears. And that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. Just having a little fun, folks, not being mean. Just a little levity. The interviews with her.
Well, she's not exactly a Mensa. I'm just
aren't so,
being
so
factual.
Deep.
Okay.
I mean, not that I've ever watched an interview with her, as you know, so I've been told. But really, I mean, they're so polarized that what's happened is that on the right and the left, we've decided that we will take all of the worst attributes of people on the other side of the aisle, cluster them together, and apply them to everyone on that side
of the
aisle.
All the time on every issue.
And then when we, on our own side, do the very same things we're criticizing people for on the other side, we will make excuses for or defend or overlook. And I think, you know, this just doesn't this make us weak politically?
Oh, well,
this
I mean,
this isn't a position of strength, is it?
It makes us weak politically. I would challenge that assertion. I think in the political arena, that's what political people want. That's what the political machine wants. Your enemy is always your enemy, and you always turn your guns on them. You don't turn them on your own people. So that was Ronald Reagan. That was his thing.
But what if instead of turning guns on our own people, it looked more in a medical analogy that if you've got a disease, you want to excise it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I wish there were a way we could do that, which is what I think what you do on the show.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, my ultimate, I re-registered. This was one of my points. I re-registered as an unaffiliated a few years ago. Because I was just tired of being easily labeled the Republican thing. Plus, I belong to one party, and that's the Jesus Christ Party. So, and I know that sounds like a bumper sticker, but I was like, I'm done being a Republican. I'm a rational person with a biblical worldview. And am I ever going to vote for a Democrat? No. Why? Blood of unborn babies on the platform. That's all. That's the end of that discussion for me. But if you're not holding both sides equally accountable, the Bible talks about equal weights and measures, and you're not using them, and you've got confirmation bias, you're easy to spot, and you're easy to dismiss. But if you're willing to hold everybody accountable, which is our prophetic role as Christians, that we apply God's word to everything, your side, their side, then I think you're going to gain all kinds of credibility. And I don't ultimately look for any credibility or popularity of mankind. I'm just trying to please one person, the Lord.
When I go in the mornings, I have quiet time. I do a little bit of scripture reading, scripture memory, and I pray. And the next thing that I do is I read articles, opinion, politics and opinion articles from 8 to 10 different outlets. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Fox News, Daily Signal, Daily Caller, Politico Playbook, a couple of the Christian sides.
A couple different things. You're getting some different perspectives there.
Yeah, so I'm reading, and you can find some people who are balanced, who are doing what you're talking about, holding everyone accountable, but they're hard to find. They're harder to find than the plot of a Steven Seagal movie. I'm just having fun today.
You just got
I get to be the radio
show. These things just roll
today.
Off of your throat. By the way, I want to say this to our friends out in San Francisco. We also do Facebook Live right now, so if you want to connect on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/C2A Radio, which we're getting ready to change the name to just the show just to my name, Steve Noble. But on Facebook, that we can engage that way. So facebook.com/C2A Radio, which is the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, C2A Radio at Facebook, and you can join us that way. And the website's the same thing, C2AToday.com.
So listen, we've got a little bit of time left before we launch into your last point. Do you have anything else to say on holding people accountable, or do we want to go ahead and—
Well, again, if you are a born-again follower of Jesus Christ— when Donald Trump does anything of conduct unbecoming, because he likes to talk of himself as a Christian, so as soon as you say you're a Christian, I'm going to hold that standard on you, as you should on me. I say this on the air every once in a while. Hey, listen, if you guys think I'm trashing my witness as a Christ follower, if you think I'm misrepresenting the word of God, then stink and get a hold of me and hold me accountable. Don't just do nothing. Say something. So I'm willing to, when Donald Trump communicates the way he does, and so— when he does good things, I'm like, that's great. When he does stupid things like yesterday saying, hey, we'll take mentally unstable people's guns and then we'll worry about due process after that, I'm like, okay, well, that's not constitutional and I've got a problem with that. I support him and I pray for him, but I'm going to hold him accountable for any little thing he does, regardless of whether he's a Republican or not.
Yeah, and you know, I think the inverse of what you're saying is part of what you're saying is not only do we need to be willing to hold people accountable even-handedly on both sides of the aisle on the things that they do badly, we need to be able, like you said a minute ago, to give credit where credit is due. Let me give an example. So I'm known as a conservative, all right? So I'm often picking on progressive platforms and policy.
And you do it quite well.
Yeah, but let me pick on us for a minute, on our family. So if there were any president with whom I disagree on nearly everything in terms of policy, it would be Barack Obama, right? I'm just very different ways of approaching pretty much everything. But, you know, I think there is one thing that I would say that I think he did well, as best I can tell. He seems to be a very good husband and father. And
yeah, I would agree with that.
No evidence to the contrary. But I'm going to tell you, when I've been guests on radio shows, I basically get shouted down. I can't get anyone to agree with me on even something that little. I get responses on my Facebook author page or on radio shows or comment chains to the effect of, oh, he cheats on his wife all the time. Bad guy. You'll see it. It'll come out one day. You know, well, maybe so, possibly. But there's no evidence of that.
There's way more evidence against Donald Trump than there is against Barack Obama.
Give credit where credit is due.
He cheated on his first wife with his second wife, then he cheated on his second wife with his third wife. But now, can a man change? Absolutely. Praise the Lord Jesus that he can change. Is he changing? I hope so. And that happens a lot with people when they get older. But, you know, we have to be, you know, if somebody does something well, if they represent something well, then you got to be willing to compliment them on it.
Yep. And, you know, it gives us a chance in our environment today, just kind of with the all-encompassing idiocy that's on display in our nation. It gives us a chance to be different in a good way.
Amen.
In a way that might be well-received, that we can actually sort of lead the way, that we can show people what truth and grace together look like.
I love that.
As we've talked about so many times before.
That's a great point.
Well, why don't you kick us off for just a minute on your last point, and then we'll pick back up.
Okay.
After the break.
Well, I alluded to this, and I just simply entitled it Get Smart, for those of you that are old enough to understand that reference. So most people, I said this a little while ago, most people, whether it's political or especially if you get into the issues, the life issue, gender issue, marriage, you want to talk about guns or property rights, whatever. Most people, and a lot of theological issues too, they're a mile wide and an inch deep. And so we get on either side of the partisan divide, and we basically lob bumper stickers at each other. These little one-liners, and it's all emotionally charged. But if you can actually have a conversation with somebody and say, well, I did this to a guy at a restaurant the other night in Nashville. He said, yes, I'm a Christian. And I said, all right, I'm going to ask you a really uncomfortable question in front of all these other people at the table. Why do you think you're a Christian? And the people at the table were like, okay, this is going to be awkward. But eventually he started talking about Jesus Christ. And I'm like, okay, bro, based on the Bible, you are a Christian. But 76% of Americans will say they're a Christian, but they don't talk about Jesus and they don't know the gospel.
So we'll be back in a few minutes to talk about what it means.
All right, so listen. All right, so hold on a second.
Okay.
All right, this is live radio. This happens. So for some reason, now this is Steve Noble. For those of you that maybe this is your first time tuning in, and you're out there in San Francisco on KDIA, and you're like, who is this guy and what is this show? So I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm here with my buddy, Bruce Ashford, who's a provost and a professor, writes for Fox News Opinion. I'm Steve Noble, the Christian radio guy. And we just are doing our final segment. And all of a sudden, we're coming back from a break, and I can't hear intro music. So I've been doing radio for 11 years. It's like all muscle memory to me. So I know when stuff's going to come in and happen. And so I didn't hear anything. So all of a sudden, I'm looking and wondering, okay, just go ahead, Bruce. And Bruce is sitting in for me today and interviewing me. And then I look on the screen, on my computer screen, on a different screen, and he's like, lost you. And so then I go look over here and then we have no connection internet-wise. It's gone. So then I reconnected. So now that's why you heard the music.
It's the Russians again.
So now we're back on it.
Or the North Koreans.
It's the Russians.
Somebody.
It's the North Koreans.
Well,
I'm pretty
put a target on your back.
I probably do. And I'm pretty sure that Satan doesn't want anybody listening to this show in San Francisco. So who knows who's to blame, but we're back live now,
hey,
so whatever.
And I want you to remind the folks in San Francisco what we want to do for them.
Yes, because we weren't even on the air perhaps when we said that. So so we're brand new with our new friends at KDIA, and my friend Greg Laurie was kind enough, the pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship, to send out – they sent letters to like 800 different stations around the country that Pastor Greg is on. Greg basically tell him, hey, there's another show you need to carry. Thanks for carrying mine, but you guys really need to pick up Steve Noble's Christian show. It's not the typical conservative echo chamber, and it's actually got some humor, and it's more balanced than usual, and actually has some not just truth but grace – and an evangelistic fervor that most of the time Christian talk radio, especially that deals with politics as we're talking today, lacks. And so that's from 14 years of being an activist, 11 years doing radio. So we're on there in KDIA now in San Francisco, which is totally awesome. And if you want to get to know me or the show or kind of hear a great story, which is not about me, it's about what the Lord has done. So we're willing to give away, I'm going to do this probably this week and all next week, a copy of my book called No Sacred Cows, which is kind of my testimony, and then getting into activism and getting into radio and all the things that God has taught me to share with you. So No Sacred Cows, if you're listening on KDIA, just give us a call. We'll get your name and your email address, and then we'll get you a free copy. 866-34-TRUTH is the number. See how this just comes out of me? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. But only if you're from the San Francisco area, and I will personally mail you a copy of my book, No Sacred Cows. Back to Bruce.
And we are talking about four big things Steve has learned over the past 14 years as a political activist and a radio talk show host. Four big things he's learned about Christian political involvement in the public arena, in politics. And your last point that you made is get smart. Let's follow up on that for a few minutes, and then we will take Facebook Live comment or a call or maybe a couple of those before we wrap things up.
Excellent. So just to review, the first one is begin praying for our leaders. Most of us don't do that. Kick politics off the throne so you don't live in fear and anger, and quit making politics your number one concern. The gospel and discipleship should be number one. Hold everyone accountable, whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, or you're a Republican, Democrat. Hold everybody accountable to the same standard. And that leads us to number four, which I simply called get smart, which is do your homework so that you can make a good case. Make sure you're controlling your emotions when you do that, but also be able to make a biblical case. I know a lot of Christians who can make a little bit of a political case, but when you ask them, well, how do you back that up as a Christian, like from the Bible? And then all of a sudden, everything kind of goes quiet. So the need to get educated, but especially, like I mentioned this earlier, Bruce, if you're going to discuss Christianity with people or other people that claim to be Christians that have some wacky theology, you better know the basis of the faith, which is the gospel. It's the Bible. If you're going to talk about American politics, you better become a student of the Constitution, or you're just playing off some sheet of music that's based on your emotions, and that ain't going to cut it.
So how do you get smart? Very quickly, 30 seconds. How do you get smart? 60 seconds. What do you read? What do you watch? What do you not read or not watch?
Well, you watch, but you limit it. So I used to listen to Rush and Sean Hannity, I mean, because I own my own business and I was out and about all the time. And that was good for education, but bad for my spirit, for my joy, because I was just getting too worked up. And then it was just the conservative echo chamber. So then I start reading other things, whether you want to look at papers or websites or go to Politico or Huffington Post, whatever. So start reading a lot. That's one thing that most Americans do. The average American adult reads less than one book per year once they get out of college. And so most people are stupid, ignorant. Mm-hmm. And so if you start to become a little bit smart, all of a sudden, you're going to be like a stud horse, you know, male or female. You're going to be, wow, you're really smart. It doesn't take a whole lot to start to pass most people in this country, sad to say. So I read a variety of things, but I really started by getting better with the scriptures so I could handle things from a biblical worldview perspective. And then I started focusing on the Constitution itself, which I've been teaching for 6 years to high school homeschoolers. And then I read a lot. People ask me how I do show prep. I say I wake up and I pay attention. And that's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. So let's take, we had a really good question come in on Facebook Live. And the question had to do with, practically speaking, how can I get involved?
Yeah, this was Joy on Facebook Live. And if you want to join us on Facebook, it's facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's the letter C, the number two, the letter A as in called to action. So facebook.com/C2A Radio. And Joy was just talking about how she feels God stirring in her heart to get involved with politics. She hasn't felt like God's leading her down a certain particular road in politics, but she wants to get involved, but she doesn't want to be some crazy angry woman out there yelling at people. And we started to talk about local. So Bruce, let me ask you that question, as somebody that knows this arena as well. Why local and not national?
Yeah, so national politics, we don't need to, of course, evacuate the premises. We need to vote in national elections. We need to follow national politics. National politics is distant from us. It's polarized and it's weaponized. We have everything that is given to us has already been prepackaged and interpreted for us by people who aren't necessarily interested in accuracy,
right,
or
yeah,
Christian
yeah,
love, or any
yeah,
of those things.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but on the local level, you can get involved directly. You can really change people's lives. You can give people a kind of a view of what an evangelical Christian is really like, as opposed to what Slate or BuzzFeed told them, and vice versa. You know, somebody who's progressive, conservatives can see what a real live progressive person is like, and not have the sort of malicious view that was handed to us by somebody from,
right.
you know, some.
Right. Which you have to realize in that, and to Joy's point, and we talked about this before off the air, but you use the word malicious. You just have to realize that when you start getting involved in politics, your emotions are right there with you. Now, God's emotional, but emotions don't control him. We're emotional. Emotions shouldn't control us. And don't sell the most valuable thing you have outside of your own salvation is your witness as a bought and paid for follower of Jesus Christ. That's the second most valuable thing you have. And so don't sell it down the river because you can't control your emotions over a political issue. If you can handle a conversation and actually smile occasionally and be likable, it's amazing because nobody knows what to do with you. People on the other side of an issue don't know what to do.
If we can poke fun at ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
If we can recognize when somebody on the other side of the aisle gets something right, does something right. These are some small things we can do that can kind of heal the fabric,
exactly.
if you will, that's been torn apart.
But start reading and make sure you know the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Take in different parts. But, you know, some of the things that you read are some of the things that I read. I find I love Ben Shapiro, Daily Wire, Daily Signal. Yes, I look at Fox News, but I take a look at CNN. I look at Politico. I look at a couple different opinion writers and papers. I'm all over the map. I look at stuff all over the place.
And, you know, just as an example, there's so many resources out there, really good resources. Read the Constitution first. You can get it for free. It's on the internet. You can buy it in little book form. But also, like, Heritage Foundation has written a guide to the American Constitution. I keep it very close to my desk, and it kind of interprets for me.
Excellent.
Some of these things that are going
yeah.
on. So many different resources. You can go to Steve Noble's website. You can listen to the show regularly. And most importantly, I think, and you've mentioned this over and over again, is to soak yourself in the Scripture.
Yep.
Let your true political identity as an ambassador of Jesus Christ be formed and shaped through local church involvement, soaking yourself in the Scriptures. What else would you say, Steve? I'm going to let you close it out. It's your show, after all.
Well, you got to. If you're going to try to engage the culture with truth, you got to know the source of truth, and that's the Bible. That's God himself. But then you also need to be able to think politically, which is the Constitution. And then I've read a ton of books. I just need to prepare a list that I've read that have helped me. And some took me in the wrong direction and some took me in the right direction. But if I have the word first, now I have a measuring stick that I can use against everything else. And it might feed me politically, but if it doesn't match the Scriptures, it's actually worthless. So, Bruce, thanks for being here today. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio, and God willing, I'll talk to you guys again real soon. I'll be back in my seat tomorrow. God willing.